We've all gone through the valley of a shadow of death. We've all had difficulties in our lives, and either we're going through a storm, we've just come out of a storm, or a storm's up ahead. That is part of life. But oh, I thank God for Jesus Christ, who promises never to leave us or forsake us. And I thank God for this church. God is doing something here. We're talking about revival. We've been speaking on revival. You've been praying for revival. And so turn to John chapter 4, verse 31 and following. We're going to read about a revival account, but from a different side. We're going to read from what Jesus said to the disciples in the midst of a revival and awakening that was going on. I'm so thankful that Dr. J brought me here. I've said I'm not an evangelist, and so I candidly said, you know, Dr. J, you know, you could have gotten to ask a real evangelist to come here. Why didn't you? And I just love his honesty. He said, we couldn't afford a real evangelist. Paul Washer is a friend of mine, and we were younger. We would travel around speaking some together. Some of you know Paul Washer. And I spoke at a place, and he was there with me. And Paul, you know, it wasn't a great sermon, but God moved. So after it was over, I asked Paul, I said, what'd you think? He said, well, I got the highest compliment for you. He said, your sermon wasn't much, but God moved in spite of it. So my prayer tonight and through these services is, this really is not about me, obviously, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his providence, he placed upon Jay's heart to bring me here. Therefore, through me, he has a message for us. My wife, I wish she could be. We haven't completely sold our house yet. They got to get a contract, a contingency. So she's still in Decatur. But I love my wife because she always is so honest. And you know, we need our wives to keep us grounded and to make sure we never get the big head. She's good about that. And you know, she's told me many times, Rob, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you. So praise the Lord for a wonderful wife of that. Now, we're talking about getting busy for Jesus Christ. What must we do? We've had a movement of God. We talked about what revival looks like. We need to be crying out for the Holy Spirit. We talked about different aspects of revival. We talked about sin in the camp, because unless we rid ourselves of the sin in our lives, that we will not see revival like we long for. But there's got to be a time when men, women, the rubber meets the road. You know, we can talk a lot about it. We can talk about being a biblical man. I'm all for it. But are we going to do it? We can talk about what we want to pray and sacrifice for revival. But will we do it? We can say we're going to do whatever the cost so the name of Jesus Christ is exalted and we tell our neighbors about Christ Jesus, but will we do it? Let's look in the scripture. Now, this is a very familiar passage. If I were to cover the whole chapter, we would really focus on the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. You know the story, very, very familiar. Jesus witnessed to her. Introduced her all kind of things, and she went back to tell everybody, wow, her life was changed. And the disciples had gone to get Jesus something to eat, and so we will look in verse 31. The whole town is coming out. So awakening's happening. The whole town is coming out. They're gathering around Jesus, and disciples come back. Verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, they were yapping, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, yapping again, has someone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? If we're to get busy, then the first thing we've got to do is we got to stop talking. Now, I want us to put ourselves in there. Here they are. People are coming from all over. There is an awakening going on. People are running. The husbands, the children, those who are living in sin are coming to hear the Messiah. And the disciples are yapping around. They're just talking. Have you got something to eat? Let's eat. You need to get away from the crowd. You need to leave and eat. Oh, brothers and sisters, talk is cheap when lives are dying. Talk is cheap when a world is apart from Jesus Christ. And the church of Christ, we have been so busy for so long doing nothing but talking. And much of our talking has not been exalting Jesus Christ. They were totally off base. They were focusing on just the material needs while those with spiritual needs were coming around. And we've done the same thing. I have seen people get furious in churches over the color of the carpet. How do I know? Because it was Central Baptist Church right before I got there. I got to Central Baptist and people were saying, "Oh, Brother Rob, you got to do something. They put this purple carpet in. It's driving us crazy. Can't we rip it up and start over again?" Lost people all around us and people were arguing over the carpet. We relocated the church to a new location and there were people writing emails and coming in. "Oh, I heard you're going to put chairs in there. I can't believe it. The only holy thing is a pew." I'm not joking. We were talking. God doesn't care if you're sitting in chairs, sitting in pews, if you sit on the floor. God's interested in furthering His kingdom. And when revival breaks out in your heart and my heart, we begin to stop talking and look into Jesus Christ. Because when we're talking, we can't hear Him, can we? Another church in Decatur, Alabama, they had a big split. Do you know what they had a split over? A chandelier. There were the chandelier crowds. "We want a big chandelier. We want it to look beautiful." And another group said, "We don't want chandeliers. We want recessed lighting." Recessed lighting group over here. Chandelier crowd on this side. The recessed lighting group won. The chandelier crowd left, started a new church. And when you walked in their church building, the chandelier took up almost the whole place. There's a huge chandelier there. What happened to that church? 2 years ago, they closed the doors. We've got to repent. We've been busy talking and talking and talking and talking. Some is good stuff. Some is not good stuff. But we're not seeing what's going on. And when we talk, we don't hear. Much like Daddy. When my dad used to talk and talk on the phone and read the paper. And that's my best time to ask Dad questions because he was never paying attention. Here's my daddy. We should have buried him with a phone in his hand. I mean, he's talking on the phone. He's like Dr. J here. He was constantly busy reading a paper. And so I went up to him and he never would pay attention because he was talking. And I said one day, I was about 13. I said, "Daddy, you mind if I take the car down to the neighbor's house down the street?" "No, I don't mind, son. Go ahead." I said, "You don't mind?" "No, I don't mind." And so I grabbed the keys and I'm walking out the door because in Monroeville, where I grew up, you started driving at an early age. So I knew how to drive. It just wasn't legal, but I knew how to drive. Dad was using the car with me. So I'm heading out the door, hot diggity dog. And all of a sudden, Mother said, "Where are you going, Robert Ernest Jackson?" When she said that, I knew I was in trouble. I said, "I'm going to drive down the road." "You are only 13 years of age. What are you going to do?" "Well, Dad told me I could." "I never did." "Yes, you did, Daddy." You see, he was talking and he was reading and he wasn't paying attention. Church of Jesus Christ, look at the disciples and learn. We've got to stop talking. But not only must we stop talking because we don't hear Jesus and we don't see the spiritual significance, we got to stop talking because we use it as an excuse to procrastinate. Do you not, it's a proverb, do you not say 4 more months and then come the harvest? In other words, we're going to plant now. The harvest is coming 4 months from now. And we do that all the time. "Oh, we're going to have this happen when the building is paid off. Oh, once the building, now we want it paid off. Once the debt's paid off, we're going to do this. Down the road, we're going to do this." When I was a kid, we used to pass out round to-its. And a round to-it was a little wooden thing. Said, "I'm going to get to it when I get around to it. And here's your round to-it. Now get to church." We got to stop talking. If we're talking, we're going to miss God. The scripture says, "Be still. And know that I'm God." Some of you are going through Billy Hanks' material, Operation Multiplication. It's called A Joy. And one of the illustrations he says is being still come natural to you. And it doesn't for me. He says, much like someone who is at a full service gas station. Some of y'all remember those. And you'd get in and crank up the car. We had one in Monroeville. It was a BP, it was Gulf first, Mr. Pete's. And I'd say, Mr. Pete, fill my car up. He'd take the cap off, and I'd crank it up, and I'd drive around and around. He's going around trying to squirt the gas in my tank. Would gas get in my tank? No. I'd have to be still and let God. So if we're going to move beyond where we are right now, we got to stop talking. But a second thing I see clearly in the scripture, he says to the disciples, do you not say form is harvest? I say, look, open your eyes. The fields are already white into harvest. We got to stop talking. We got to start looking. Now, in the original language, the Greek, it says we've got to look and keep looking. The fields are white into harvest. In other words, it's the imagery is we're in the latter days and there is going to be harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest. And we must be looking. We must see where God is working. We must join Him. God right now is calling men and women from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. But Romans says, how will they hear unless someone goes? We got to start looking. And it's got to be focused. What were they looking at? The wrong things. I can't imagine all the people flooding in, needing Jesus, and they were looking at the food they had brought. We got to know not only to stop talking, start looking, but looking in the right direction. Joe Karstner is a friend of mine. He joined our softball team. Well, didn't really join. It was a church softball league because we were short a player. And so Joe was there. Joe's a big old guy. I mean, he was a farmer and strong as an ox. And so, man, we figured we could put him at shortstop. Nobody could run over him. But Joe was a little not too great with the catching the ball. So we put him in the outfield. And he said, nobody hit it to you, Joe. Don't worry about it. You're in a spot you don't have to worry about. You just play the game for us. Okay, he came in his blue jeans. You know, he was not really a ball player. Lo and behold, boom, guy hit it. It's coming right to Joe. And so we yelled out, Joe of the team yelled, Joe, raise your glove, it's coming to you. And so Joe, like a man, he froze and he stuck his glove up like this and he just was immobilized. And then all of a sudden he said he wanted to know where the ball was. So he moved his glove, boom, hit him in the nose. Broke his nose. It was a terrible sight. You see, he was not being smart about where he's looking, was he? And in the church, we're not being smart. Oh, we're looking, but not in the right place. The disciples were looking, but they were looking at what they had brought. They were blinded to the needs all around them. We got to start looking. Did you know on the average in Mobile, 50 to 60% are unchurched? Now, that's people who say there's more than that. There's a greater percentage that don't know Jesus Christ, but there's a claim. So on average, 6 out of every 10 people you see in the grocery store, at school, around there, do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, on average. Open our eyes. We've got to be broken over this. We've got to stop talking. We're going to do something. We're going to get around to it. And you and I have got to start looking for the fields or white up to harvest. Verse 36. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. That was fulfilling prophecy, verse 37. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. We've got to start looking, but then we've got to commence going. To go in the fields. They're white into harvest. We've got to go into the fields. Why? Because eternal life is at stake. People are dying apart from Jesus Christ. And their blood will be in our hands. Here these people were coming, flocking in, and the disciples didn't get it. And God is bringing in our path every single day. Lives in whom He has died for, and yet my tears often don't fall. My eyes are often too dry. Perhaps yours are too. We got to start going because we will be held accountable if we do not share the gospel. Herschel York is a friend of ours. He's the new dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dad and I were at Buck Run Baptist Church. He followed us at Buck Run. He's the pastor there in Frankfort, Kentucky. And Herschel told me this story I'll never forget. He was at Travis Avenue Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And a lady came up to him and said, "You know, Dr. York, my son is lost without Christ. Would you go and meet with him? He won't listen to me, but I really think he said he respects you and he'll listen to you." And Herschel York said, I'll go see him. I'll go see him this week. He said he got real busy and time just flew by. The next Sunday, she saw him and said, "Dr. York, I know you've been busy, but my son said he'll listen to you. He doesn't know Jesus Christ, but he'll listen to you. He won't listen to me, but he respects you." He said, "I promise I'll go by this week." Another week, got busy, forgot about it. The third week, she came up and said, "Dr. York, I really want you." He said, "I'm so sorry. It's been 3 weeks. I promise you, tomorrow I'm going to go see him." She said, "Please hurry. I just got this in my spirit that the time is so short for him. Would you please? I will come tomorrow. I'll make boy put on his counter. Come tomorrow." He got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. "Dr. York, you've got to come to the hospital right now." He said, "What is it?" "It's my son. He's been in a tragic automobile accident, and they don't know if he's going to make it." And Herschel said he got dressed so quickly, he sped over there to the hospital there in Lexington, the hallway praying, "Oh, dear God, let him be conscious. Let him be conscious. Let me hear." And he was just blood all over him where the injuries and stuff. And Herschel said he put his hands underneath him, prayed, "Oh, dear God, please raise him up. Can't you hear me?" He's trying to share the gospel. He said, "Oh, can't you hear me?" And he said that young man died in his arms. And Herschel said he was just in shock. And the family went. They were crying. And the mother said, "Oh, Herschel, if he'd only come sooner. If he'd only come sooner." And Herschel York stood there. And all of a sudden the nurse said, "Sir, would you like for me to wash your hands?" And Herschel said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You've got to get the blood off your hands." And he looked down. And Herschel said, "I wish to God you could. I wish to God that anybody could wash this blood off my hands." And as Herschel told me, how many times have I been like him and put off sharing with a loved one, with a nephew, with a friend? Now, I cannot, nor can you, lead anyone to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit draws. The Holy Spirit is one who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. But you and I have a human responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Romans. We've got to commence going because people are dying apart from hearing the gospel. But not only must we commence going because our eternal life is at stake, but we got to commence going because the world needs someone to take a stand and make evangelistic prayer a priority. Not just saying a little prayer for a few days or even a month, but evangelistic prayer. And I believe that God is place on somebody's heart here that you're going to make evangelistic prayer a priority from this day until Jesus comes again or he calls you home. Jeremiah Lampier, some of you know of him, 1857, he was a church janitor. And he would hear all the sermons. Everybody, we got to reach people for Christ. And everybody talked and talked and talked. And Jeremiah Lampier, just no one but just a church janitor. As wonderful as that is, but he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a Sunday school teacher, he wasn't a church leader, he wasn't an elder, he was a janitor. And he said, "I'm going to make prayer a priority." And he began to pass out pamphlets there in New York City. The first day, September 23rd, 1857, he prayed for half an hour alone. No one showed up. By the end of the hour, six men from four denominations joined him, just from the flyers. He said, "Let's get together this next Wednesday." Next Wednesday, 20 people. On October 7th, 40 people. The meeting was so blessed, they decided to meet every day. And 1 week later, there were over 100 present. And they started to see a change. when they go around and begin to share the power of the Holy Spirit on them, and people who didn't know Jesus Christ begin to confess Christ as Lord, repent of their sins. Within a month, pastors who had attended the noon prayer meeting in Fulton Street started morning prayer meetings in their own churches. People from all over, all denominations, began to pray. The meetings were abounding. This is from a primary document of the day. These meetings abounded love of Christ, love for fellow Christians, love for prayer, a love of witnessing. Those in attendance feel an awesome sense of God's presence. They pray for specific people, expect answers, and we are seeing by the glory of God these answers. Newspapers begin to pick up and report the meetings. The unusual spirit of prayer was evident. Within 3 months, similar meetings begin to spring up other places of America. Thousands begin praying in these services in their homes. In New York, gospel tracts were distributed to those in attendance with instructions that each tract should be prayed over and then ask God to show us someone to give them to. 3 months at Fulton Street, the church was filled beyond capacity and hundreds had to go other places. By early February the next year, the nearby Methodist church was open and immediately overflowed. The balconies were filled with people praying and asking for revival. On March 19th, the theater opened for prayer, and half an hour before it was time to begin, people were turned away, standing outside. Hundreds stood in the streets because they couldn't get inside. By the end of March, over 6,000 people met daily in prayer gatherings in New York City. Many churches added evening service just for prayer. Soon, there were 150 united prayer meetings each day across Manhattan and Brooklyn. And what began to happen? Revival began. Even begin to affect the ships that were coming into the harbor. Here's a report. Revival began aboard one ship before it reached the coast. People on board began to feel the presence of God and a sense of their own unworthiness and sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them and they began to pray. As a ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, "Please send a minister. We must know what we must do to be saved." Another small commercial ship arrived in port with the captain, and every member of the crew converted in the last 150 miles. Ship after ship arrived with the same story. Both passenger and crew were suddenly convicted of sin, turned to Christ before they reached the American coast. The battleship North Carolina was anchored in New York Harbor as a naval receiving ship. More than 1,000 young men were on board. 4 Christians agreed to meet together for prayer and knelt in the lower deck. The Spirit of God so filled the hearts in joy, they broke into song. The ungodly soldiers began to mock them, but when they came down to mock them, the power of the Holy Spirit and every man on that ship gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Strong men who were deep in sin were broken, drowned by the Spirit's power, knelt humbly in the penitence and faith. Night after night, sailors prayed. Hundreds were converted on the ship. Ministers were sent for, and a landslide began to come. And in New York City alone, counting all the Northeast, over 1 million people were saved. And 10,000 people a week were being baptized in New York. You see, Jeremiah Lampier was tired of going to church and people just talking. He was tired of going to church and people saying, "We're going to get around to it one day." He said, "Though no one else, I am going to pay the price." And God blessed his efforts according to his sovereign grace and mercy. And there was a greater awakening that even happened in the Civil War down with General Jackson and General Lee. General Jackson in 1862, the end of 1862, he believed the South was going to win the war. And he was appalled at the spiritual apathy in the South. And so he and a minister, Chapman, gathered together and they began to pray that all-night prayer meeting. He said, "Let's organize prayer meetings all around." And Robert E. Lee got into it all around the Southern camps. And after, in 1863, 6 months later, the Southern Army had already seen 150,000 soldiers baptized. And by the end of the war, revival broke out and 21% of the South came to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. And it's where we get the Bible Belt. Because some people dared not just to talk. at Brandon Baptist Church, First Baptist Brandon, when my dad was pastor and I was in college at Sanford University. You go to their archives, and they're a very historic, old church. And there talks about, if you read the primary documents, the fires of Jackson are bright tonight. Sherman went through there and burned. The fires of Jackson are bright tonight, but nothing like the fire of the Holy Spirit. Send more chaplains. We can't baptize everyone. And you know what I say, brothers and sisters in Christ? Oh God, would you do it again? Our country needs it. I need it. You need it. But God wants us to stop talking about it. He wants us to start looking and seeing that the fields are truly white in the harvest, and looking to see that He is the God who can save. Do we believe He can save your alcoholic friend? Do we believe He can save those who are caught up in homosexuality? Do we believe that He can change the LGBTQ? Instead of cursing the darkness, let us carry the light. Jesus Christ saves. We've got to stop talking. We got to start looking, and we got to commence going. And how else can we do it? Not only must we take the initiative in prayer, we got to invite people. We've got to, men, take the lead in your family. Men, you go, and when your family's going out to eat, you tell the server, I know you're busy right now, but we're about to thank God for our food. Is there anything we can pray for you, for your family, for your job, through school, if they look school age? Anything we can pray. You have to give them suggestions, because it'll take them off surprise. I have seen people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ just by a simple prayer. But what has it done for my child? My child Abigail, seeing her parents witness, has given her boldness to witness. We've got to be inviting people. Well, what if it offends my friend? I'd rather offend your friend for temporary than have them spend eternity in hell. And they will not know of Jesus Christ unless someone tells them. We've got to be going, and we've got to be praying, and we got to be creative as a church. How do we reach people for Jesus Christ? Let us be creative. Say, Holy Spirit, show me ways. Let me tell you, one of our churches, one way that a young Sunday school class decided. They formed the McDonald's team. And it didn't just go to McDonald's, but that was a popular place at the time, McDonald's team. And here's what they did. They would, as a family, as a young class, young married class, they was a family, save up money all week long. And then they had tracts made up and thanking them. And they would go and pray all week, Lord, would you lead us to someone behind us who needs to hear of Jesus Christ in need? And they'd pull up to the window. How much is the person's, and we did a central, it was called a Chick-fil-A team, but this was another church I was at. How much is a person behind us meal? $8.75. Well, we're paying for them. But tell them the reason we did it, because of Jesus Christ. And here tells about why we did this. On the back is our phone number, any information, and our church. We did this, it was a McDonald's team, it was at Wendy's. And the team, the sweet young couple with their children, the kids got into it, praying. Oh, you know, mom and dad, leave somebody who needs to be touched by Jesus Christ. God, you're in your providence, would you have a divine appointment? They went through the line and said, how much is the meal behind us? I think it was like $9 and something. So they paid for the meal. And then the person came through. They had no idea this, that the lady's husband had left her. She had her daughter, and they had not eaten in 2 days. And they said, God, if you're real, would you please let the lady find favor on us, because we don't have a penny to buy a meal. And they went up there, and the lady's crying, said, my daughter and I haven't eaten in 2 days. My husband left, cleaned out the bank account. Would you let us have it? And she said, ma'am, the person just left there. They bought your meal for you. And they said, God led them to, and here's something to give them. And it had my dad's name on the back of the card. The lady got home and called daddy right away and said, oh, brother Bob, we don't know about this Jesus, but would you come tell us about it? And said, would you mind if we invited some of our neighbors? It was in a poor part of Frankfort, Kentucky. So would you mind? I said, no, we'll be glad to. And the neighbors all came, and Dad shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a weeping, there was repentance. And there were, from that time on, two rows filled with the McDonald team's people who had come to faith in Jesus Christ and were active in our church. Pray for creativity. That was a young couple's class. What about you? God, how can we best share the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's nothing more exciting in the world than sharing about our Savior. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for you. And He's worthy of all. And then make prayer for Easter Sunday a priority. People are more receptive. Wow, time flies. People are more receptive on Easter. I don't know why, but they are. We have seen, as I've gone around knocking on doors, and Dad knocking on doors, and my mother knocking on doors, we've seen an unbelievable power that raised Jesus from the dead at work in people's lives, and the receptivity for them having an invitation on Easter Sunday. And my prayer is that there's standing room only here Easter, with people wanting to hear that our Savior is not dead, He's alive. That on the third day when the stone was rolled away, they looked in and the tomb was empty. And the same Jesus will offer salvation. All who repent and believe will be saved. And we need to be praying and going out. And then we need a most wanted list. These are the people in your small groups, in your home. These are the 10 or 5 most wanted lists. And God, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that they might be saved. I could really go on and on and on. But here's what I'm going to say. If we want revival, we got to look at this passage. We got to stop talking. Stop talking for everything so we can listen and hear Jesus and see what He says. And then we got to start looking. Not looking at our physical needs, not looking at the things that we often do, but looking at the fields that are white into harvest. And then we need to commence going because the time is so short. May those of us who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to Crawford Baptist Church, to you, and to me. Let's pray.